Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Friday. You heard from him this past Monday, and he is back, Jordan Montgomery, to share with us those action steps toward intentionality. Jordan, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Zach, thanks for having me, man. It's a blessing.
Man, it is truly. I loved our conversation, and I love the direction it went, really getting very personal and opening up and showing that vulnerability, which is what I think makes a truly great leader, is being vulnerable, attached to so many things. And I really want to just let you have the opportunity, give you the opportunity, really give the audience the opportunity to hear these action steps from you. What are the first couple things you'd recommend to somebody? Like one, two, bam, this is how you start taking action. What would those things be?
Well, I would believe that, and I do believe that, you know, the first step in personal development is self-awareness. You know, all personal development begins with self-awareness. And I think self-awareness is a subject matter of continuous improvement. Like, we never truly arrive. In fact, when somebody thinks that they're really self-aware, like if somebody self-admittedly says, you know, one of the things I'm great at is my self-awareness, I immediately think, well, that person's not very self-aware. You know, like, because we all have stuff to learn and we're always growing in our awareness of the world, of ourselves, of our surroundings. And I don't know what I don't know. And I have blind spots. I'm human just like everybody else. So I'll use myself as the example, Zach. But in my own journey, there's two things I try to do every day. Number one is ask for help. And number two is ask for feedback. Both of those things contribute to your self-awareness and your situational awareness. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. It's the one thing that everybody says is super important. And simultaneously, they say they're not getting enough of it. The reality is we all get feedback. What we don't get is honest, helpful, and timely feedback. So you get feedback in how people look at you. You get feedback on what they say, what they don't say. But I want to build a culture around me of honest, helpful, and timely feedback. And so I'm going to ask my stakeholders, the people that love, trust, and care about me, what could I do better? What are my blind spots? What am I missing? You know, after I do a speech, a coaching session, a group coaching session, I'll oftentimes reach out to the leader. Hey, would you please give me some feedback? What should I start doing? What should I stop doing? What should I keep doing? And then I'm going to be very specific with the questions that I ask. Specific questions leads to specific feedback. You know, too many times you say something like this, can I get some feedback? That's a crappy question. It's way too vague. It's really hard to respond to. The average person doesn't know what to say. So what do they say? Hey, you did great. You killed it. Great
job.
You're
amazing.
Keep going.
I loved it. Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're awesome.
Right?
Yeah, you're awesome. And then they turn to their friend and they're like, man, that guy's just like super average. It's like, why'd you tell me I was awesome? Like when you actually think I'm super average. Well, you said that because I approached you in a really vague way. So you gave me a really vague response. And the easiest thing to say was, you're awesome. So number one is ask for feedback, ask for specific questions, do it consistently. And do it with people who are willing to be honest. Surround yourself with people that aren't impressed by you. They just love you. They care about you. And they're willing to give you feedback. But number two is ask for help. I think a lot of times we feel like we graduate from this idea of asking for help. I hope I never graduate from that. I never will graduate from that. Whether it's asking for an introduction, asking a favor, asking for a piece of knowledge, asking for a recommendation. One thing I try to do every day, Zach, is ask for help. And it's hard because we're not wired to ask for help. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but you know, oftentimes I think we're one decision, one conversation, one question away from a completely different life. And if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Man, I wrote down a couple of things attached to that, and it actually ended up kind of forming into the same like challenge attached to that, where I 100% agree with you. So I'm not challenging anything you just said at all, but I want to challenge a little bit on the availability you're showing up with. Are you showing up available to that feedback? Are you showing up, not you specifically, but I'm literally thinking to myself, right? Do I show up available for feedback that I'm receiving? Do I show up available for the help that I actually ask for? And a lot of that ties back into self-love, self-worth. Do I feel worthy of that feedback or that help? Do I feel like I love myself enough to accept this improvement point? How do you kind of shape that to be available? How do you teach people, coach people to be available to feedback when people hate being criticized? right? And instead of it being criticism, it's like, all right, this is actually great feedback. How do you shape that for people?
Well, I think the first thing that, you know, people will find if you start consistently asking for feedback is you're going to get way more positive feedback than negative feedback. You know, if you're asking people that love, trust, and respect you, they're going to reaffirm your gifts. And so if they share five things, three of them will be positive, two of them will be constructive. And I think we also have to remember the best feedback isn't about who we are. It's about what we do. So it's my job not to take it personal. Now I got to be able to separate that. You know, this person isn't attacking my character. You know, they're not attacking my value system. They're simply saying, did you talk too fast? Right. And if I make that about my values or my character or our friendship or Zach doesn't like me, or it's like, no, Zach simply said, I talk too fast. That's great feedback. That's about what I do. It's not about who I am. And I got to be able to separate those things.
And that's a very creative piece, right? You're a speaker, you're a coach, you're always talking to people. If you're talking too quickly for me to be able to receive the message, that's actually really good feedback if that's something you're doing.
Yeah, it's great feedback. And there's no reason to take it personal. It's very practical. I asked for feedback. You gave me the feedback. You said, hey, if Zach said, Jordan, you talk too fast, I should be able to take that for what it is. It's not about who I am. This is about what I do. Zach still loves me, cares for me. If we have a friendship, no big deal. I think the other thing that, you know, we often really miss is when someone is giving us feedback that we really need to hear, it oftentimes does hurt. And when you feel that thing rising up inside of you and it's like, oh, I want to push back, I disagree, you know, it's usually a really good sign that that's exactly what you need to hear. And the reason that something's rising up inside of you is because there's some truth to it. And it might be a half truth, it might not be a full truth, but the point is there's some truth to what that person is saying. And because of that, it's hitting a nerve. And so instead of cutting somebody off and saying, I disagree, or tuning them out, or turning away, it's like the next sentence out of our mouth should be, help me understand. Tell me more. Man, could you give me an example? Because right there is where we're about to get the gold. And if I'm talking too fast and I'm doing that every time I open my mouth and nobody's telling me that, I mean, I'm going to miss it with thousands and thousands of people. I need somebody to say, dude, slow down, or whatever it is, right? Dude, make better eye contact. Dude, tell better stories. Dude, you talk way too long. Shut up. And I got to be able to receive that. This is about what I do. It's not about who I am. And instead of cutting Zach off, instead of tuning him out, I'm going to say, tell me more. Help me understand. Could you give me an example?
Man, that's huge. And I love that you highlighted the it hurts part when that emotion starts tying into it, where I know in my own personal journey, especially from the military world, one form of PTSD is avoidance. And I never knew that until I had a therapist say, hey, man, you have an avoidance level of PTSD, not just a reactionary. And so when I think a lot of people, it might not be PTSD, but they have this form of avoidance where it hurts and they want to avoid feeling like a failure. They want to avoid like being criticized when it's not criticism. It's you're speaking too quickly, slow down a little bit. And that piece that like kind of starts rising up, I know I've done it. I've avoided it. I've shut it down. Like, nah, I don't want to hear that crap because
right.
That hurts. Right. That does become a personal thing to me. And that avoidance it leads to so many other things. I avoid all that. And then I self-sabotage over here because I never knew I spoke too quickly. So I don't get any more speaking engagements. And the way it correlates through that is that hurt, I've learned, like, that's what you need to embrace, right? That's what you need to give a big old hug to and look in the mirror and be like, this is what I need. That hurt is what I need to feel right now and sit there with it.
Yeah, it's true, man. It's just true. And you think about the moments where you've really grown in your own life, Zach, and for anybody listening, when you've grown the most is where you've struggled the most. It's moments of discomfort, it's pain, it's mistakes, it's the times you fell flat on your face. So if that's true, I got to be okay with 10 seconds a day of some feedback that's constructive that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, because that's where I'm going to grow. So we all struggle with that. We're human. I don't know that there's a person on planet Earth that just loves constructive feedback, but it is necessary for us to be, you know, the person that I think we can be to the benefit of others.
Have you ever had a client that is very avoidant, dependent like that, where they how do you like get them past that? Like, do you challenge them? Like, say, hey, and that's what I took. Like, my mentality is like, I had to be challenged. Like, you've never done this and sat with this emotion. I challenge you next time you feel it, sit there. Don't do anything. Literally just sit there. And it was probably one of the toughest 15 minutes of my life of just sitting there, not doing anything and being with myself. That's difficult for a lot of people, but it took somebody saying, I bet you can't do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll show you. Cause that's my mentality. It's like, I'll show you.
Yeah,
I can do it.
Yeah.
And it was so bad. Right. How do you get that people to like overcome that roadblock, overcome that blind spot where they're just going to always avoid? Where do you push or pull or massage and kind of like guide them to accepting and embracing?
Yeah. I think love and accountability have to go together, you know? So people got to know that you care. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. So if I'm coaching somebody, there's a lot of trust that gets established in the early stages of the relationship. So we want to seek first to understand before I open my mouth and I tell them everything that I know. I ask a ton of questions, a lot of questions. And then even after they answer the questions, it's like, tell me more, let's go deeper. Give me examples. I reach out to two people that know my clients well to get their perspective. Cause I want to get to know my client through the eyes of people that know them the best. So it's not just their input and their voice, but it's the voice and input of others.
You're not just getting what they want to tell you about.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. It's like, dude, I'm going to figure out who you really are. Like, just, I want, like, I'm going to get to your heart. I promise you I will. And I will ask you the deep questions and I'm not afraid to ask those questions. If you ask me to help you, I'm going to help you. And that also means that in giving you feedback, I'm going to prioritize your future over your feelings. Oof. If there's something that you need to hear, like, careful. I'm going to give it to you.
That's a big thing right there. That's huge. It takes a lot of love for people to be able to do that. Because you invalidate friendships very quickly when they're not open and receptive to that. All of a sudden, you said something offensive, quote unquote. But you know, 2 years down the road, that's the thing that really is going to shift for them now. And in 2 years, they're winning. So like the power to be able to do that, that's a big one right there, brother.
Well, so let's get tactical, right? In the spirit of tactical leadership. So because everybody, you know, I would ask the question, sometimes today I still ask the question, right? Like, well, how do I enter into that? You know, that's a touchy subject right there, right? If I'm going to give somebody the truth and I'm getting to know them, how do I do it in a way that they're going to receive it that's not offensive? So here's what I would say. And I probably say this, it might be even every other day. I say it a lot because part of my job as a coach is to give people the truth. And I'm pretty committed to that. So I would say something like this. If we have a relationship, I would start with, hey, Zach, I believe in you. And I want to remind you of this. I believe in you. And man, I see something in you. So I want to start with that as a baseline. Because I believe in you, I'm going to share this with you. Right now, I see X, Y, and Z, right? And then I'm going to call that out. You know, I sense that you're not putting in the effort that's required. I sense that you're not paying attention on our call. That's a very real example. I sense you're distracted. Okay. I sense you're distracted. And because I care about you, I'm not willing to accept this distracted version of you. So I'm going to call you upward. I want to tell you that I would love for you to be more focused because I know there's more gas in the tank. And for you to be the person that God created you to be, we need you to be dialed in. So if I say it that way, it's filled with love, right? They know that I mean it. But I'm also casting vision for their future. It's like, I see something in you. You've got talent and ability and giftedness, and I want to pull that out of you. And to pull that out of you, we need you to tweak X, Y, and Z.
Man, I literally wrote down that whole thing. That is powerful. And I apologize for cutting you off. Man, that is powerful, showing up that message in that way. Go ahead and the other things.
Well, here's how, like I would have done it, you know, so we're a work in progress, right? I don't have all this figured out, right? And I still step in stuff that I shouldn't step in, coaching people, you know, I'm always growing and reflecting. But in the old days, you know, I would have said something like this, Zach. I would have said, hey, our time's valuable. I need you to be focused. You know, I got a tight calendar. You got a tight calendar. Like, let's make sure we make the time count. Let's stay focused.
I've said that. Respect my time, I'll respect yours. That is a line I've said way too many times, and I take it personal when people don't. Hence why I was so apologetic showing up late to our meeting. Like, I want to respect your time. That's huge, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and I appreciated that about your spirit. You know, I love that. But the way that you were others focused in your communication with me. And the reason that I believe in you, I'm not willing to accept this. I see something in you. The reason that works is it's all about the other person. When we start saying stuff like respect my time, I'll respect yours. We got a tight timeline. My calendar's tight. Yours is tight. Let's make minutes count. That becomes about us. And it's not about me.
They don't feel important at that point.
That's
right.
You're
literally making it only about yourself.
And nobody, you know, they're like, I don't need a lecture. I don't need you to scold me. But when
that's the constructive part, right?
Yes.
The setup that's constructive.
Yeah. But if somebody says, look, no, Zach, I believe in you, bro. I see something in you. You're not playing to your potential. You have giftedness that you're not tapping into or that's being covered up by this spirit of yours. Now somebody's listening, right? They're like, man, he's right. Like he believes in me and he's right. There's more gas in my tank.
Man. Let's mic drop right there. That's phenomenal. And that slight shift in making it about them and not taking personally if they're quote unquote wasting your time or not devoting themselves to the time you've dedicated to them. I think that's a huge shift in perception that I know I could benefit from and a lot of people can benefit from in a leadership role. And I just want to give them another opportunity. What's the best way for people to find you, reach out to you, get more of this phenomenal content that you're just putting out there and crushing it with?
Well, montgomerycompanies.com is our website. So Zach, as you mentioned, we have a full-scale coaching and consulting firm. Montgomerycompanies.com is the best way to reach us. I do a lot via Instagram. I'm Jordan M. Montgomery on Instagram. So follow me. I'll follow you back. We respond to every message that gets sent our way. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Check us out. Jordan Montgomery would love to connect with you. Zach, let me say this, man, before we sign off. I want to say thank you for serving. I believe that the highest calling in leadership is the work that you've done personally, you know, serving the country, protecting people, putting your life on the line. And you've done that in a big way, man. So thanks for being who you are. And thanks for all the great content that you're putting out into the world.
I appreciate it, brother. You are worth it. That is plain and simple, man. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your time, your wisdom, and the mic drop you gave us for this Tactical Friday, man. Thank you so much.
We're going to stay connected, man. I'm in your corner always. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast. And I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.